From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace, part of his series in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon.
The text for today is found in Judges chapter 13 and verse 23, the words of Samson's mother. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things. This is a sort of promise deduced by logic. It is an inference fairly drawn from ascertained facts. It was not likely that the Lord had revealed to Manoah and his wife that a son would be born to them, and yet had it in his heart to destroy them. The wife reasoned well, and we shall do well if we follow her line of argument. The Father has accepted the great sacrifice of Calvary, and has declared himself well pleased therewith. How can he now be pleased to kill us? Why a substitute if the sinner must still perish? The accepted sacrifice of Jesus puts an end to fear. The Lord has shown us our election, our adoption, our union to Christ, our marriage to the well-beloved. How can he now destroy us? The promises are loaded with blessings which necessitate our being preserved unto eternal life. It is not possible for the Lord to cast us away and yet fulfill his covenant. The past assures us, and the future reassures us. We shall not die, but live, for we have seen Jesus, and in him we have seen the Father by the illumination of the Holy Ghost. Because of this life-giving sight, we must live forever.
Astonishing mercy and power, in accord with his pleasure and will, he created each planet, each flower, every galaxy, microbe and suspended this planet in space to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glorious grace, to the praise of his glorious grace. Providentially ruling all things, to conform to the anti-design, he mysteriously governs and brings his eternal every trace
you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As he continues this series of messages on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns comes today to an examination of the second petition in the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Of course, in order to understand what we are praying for in this petition, we must first know what the kingdom is. As Dr. Cairns will explain, the kingdom referred to here is not God's sovereign rule over His creation. Rather, it is that kingdom of grace which the Lord Jesus Christ brings into the lives of those who acknowledge Him as their personal Savior and Lord. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, Thy Kingdom Come, praying for the reign of grace.
Now, Matthew 13, we're going to start reading at verse 31. We read to the 50th verse. Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind, which when it was full they drew to the shore, and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. The Bible reading this morning is a passage of scripture that says a lot on the subject that is at the heart of the text from the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, we come to the second of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. The first was, Hallowed be thy name. The second one is, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Now, it's very natural that having focused on the holy, unspeakable greatness of the Father's name, the Lord Jesus should now direct our attention to the thought of his dominion. For that really lies at the root and heart of the meaning of the word kingdom. It has fundamentally the idea of dominion, of rule, or of reigning. Now I have to say right from the very beginning that this word kingdom is one of those words in the scripture that is deceptively simple. We can all say it without too much difficulty. Most of us even can spell it. A few of us even can turn up passages of scripture where the Bible says something about it. It's a deceptively simple term. The reality is very different. This is one of the most complex, multifaceted, and difficult themes in all the New Testament scriptures, or for that matter, indeed, in all the Bible, because it does appear in both Testaments. I don't want to give you a lecture in theology. That's not my job today. What I want us to do is simply take an overview of what this word, this expression, really speaks about in Scripture. Because until and unless we know that, it stands to reason that we haven't any hope of understanding what we pray when we say, Thy kingdom come. Most people will say those words. And yet when they've said them, they have only the vaguest notion of what it is they have just asked the Lord for. The idea of the kingdom is used in three fundamental ways. First of all, it's used of the kingdom of God's government. The Lord has what I will call an essential sovereignty. Now understand I'm using the word essential in its proper meaning. I'm saying it inheres in the very essence of God. When you say the word God, you are speaking of the being who is of internal necessity, sovereign over everything else. God is, and everything else exists at His will because of His creative order, because of His sustaining power. And everything that is not God, everything that God has created, is under His absolute, unshakable, and eternal sovereignty. We read in Psalm 103 and verse 19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens. His kingdom ruleth over all. Now that is the universal sovereignty of God. That's His kingdom in control. But that is not the subject of this prayer. That when Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, He was not referring to that essential kingdom of God's government and sovereignty over all His creation. That sovereignty is as essential as God is. It's not a matter for prayer. You may as well pray that God would exist as to pray that this kingdom would come about. We may well pray that men may recognize it and joyfully, penitently submit themselves to it. We may well pray that. But we may not pray that this kingdom would come or come to pass. As I've said, it's as real as the existence of God. It is. Doesn't need to be prayed for. It is. And therefore, there is nothing in heaven, nothing in earth, nothing in hell, nothing among all the creatures of God that can ever for one moment alter by a hair's breadth this eternal, essential, sovereign kingdom of our God. So obviously here in the text, the word kingdom has a much more specialized meaning. And it's important that we grasp this. The second great idea in the kingdom, and this is something that we now are to pray for, is the kingdom of grace. This is essentially what the Lord Jesus is praying or talking about here in this prayer. Now this kingdom is central to the four Gospels and indeed to the whole revelation of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It appears very frequently. The kingdom appears some 49 or 50 times in the book of Matthew alone. He normally speaks of it as the kingdom of heaven. But this kingdom is something that is mentioned again and again and again in the New Testament. And yet here's a strange thing. There's not one single text that I'm aware of, and I think I've looked at them all. I'll go further, there's not one single writer that I've ever read who has ever been able to cite a text that he has read that anywhere in all the Bible defines the kingdom. So here's a term that is so fundamental that it's used with great frequency, and yet it's never defined. What the Lord does is He depicts it, He describes it in parables and in pictures. We have read some of them this morning, where He says the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and He gives you an illustration, but that illustration is going to be of one aspect of the kingdom. Nowhere does He define it. Now that raises the question, how are we to understand it then? Remembering if we don't understand it, we can't pray effectively thy kingdom come. Well, let's look at some of what the Scripture says on the subject. And let me commence with a very simple but very significant fact. We turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. And there is a text of Scripture that I'm not going to try to expound. I have given you an explanation of it on other occasions in various times. But Jesus says about John the Baptist, among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, as I say, without getting into the exposition of the text, there's one thing that stands out very clearly here. The Lord Jesus is drawing, as it were, a line of time. And he's saying, up until this time, we have all these prophets, and standing now, in many ways, is the greatest of them, is John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. In other words, on the other side of this timeline from John the Baptist, something is commencing, and it is what Jesus calls the kingdom. And what I want you to see is that the kingdom comes with Jesus Christ. I think that's very important for many reasons that I really don't have time to follow through. But let me emphasize a basic fact that I keep on trying to get through to your heart as well as my own. There is always a tendency in people to intellectualize the gospel. There's always a tendency to come with the theory of the atonement, the theory or even the theology of the atonement and the incarnation or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have these things all so systematized. Remember, I'm speaking as somebody who has spent the greater part of his life teaching systematic theology. I'm not against it. But the problem is we can get so wrapped up in little systems that we are like miniature Aristotles or Thomas Aquinas's, and we have everything led forth in such logical form that we have the theory, but we have missed the Christ. The kingdom. I could introduce you to a multi-volume set that is dealing with this one single theme of the kingdom. Other great tomes written about the kingdom. And I could introduce you to people who have this view and that view and the other view. And by the time you've got through it all, you've got all their theories. But somehow in the mix it's missed. The kingdom essentially is Christ coming, revealing himself, working, saving, blessing, ruling, that's the kingdom. Starts with Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.